You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Edith, truer words never spoken. Welcome to ENN, which tonight is delivered by DoorDash. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. I'd like to start off this ENN by saying good evening to Michael.
Oh, I dropped my glasses.
Perfect. I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
I don't use it for containment.
And I'd like to say good evening to Carlin.
Mm.
No Carlin today.
Mm.
We got Nick's.
Mm.
Also, I heard the meeting with the boss did not go well.
No!
How could it not go well?
How could it go well?
Because he said this to Chris, and Chris's response was troubling. He said, Chris, you know, we really like you. We think you're doing a hell of a job. We just don't know if you're a prime time player. You know, Chris.
Shut up, fatty. Time
I
to
think
move
he was
on.
Looking for a
little... I have sources in the room, and it said that it just wasn't good karma there.
Was that true?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Well, I hope things get better for me. Mine's tomorrow.
You have a meeting too.
Yeah, I'm in the studio tomorrow because I got Rangers Predators. So,
well, I've got to tell you, I've got a meeting too tomorrow.
Well, see, here's how I know.
How do you know?
Because the boss, Scott McCarthy, reached out to me. When's a good time? Would you want to talk on the phone or would you want to meet in person? And I said, well, I'm going to be at the studio on Thursday because I got a Ranger game. He said, well, I have lunch with Michael in the afternoon. So can we do something after the show at 7 because the Ranger game's not till 8? So I'll meet with him after the show. So a little Scott McCarthy sandwich and we're the bread.
You have not even been asked, huh?
Oh, I already saw him yesterday.
Oh, really?
Oh,
interesting.
Well, hey.
Well, were you going to keep that to yourself?
Right.
I thought I mentioned that.
No, you didn't.
I just want to tell you one thing. He told me that he's seeing you guys. I asked what his plans were for the rest of the week. He told me what he's doing. And he mentioned to me that he's going to meet up with Michael. And Don, I'll tell you this. Based on where he's meeting with Michael, we asked Michael to swing it, and he doesn't do it that often. He's swinging it this time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, he's swinging it around.
We're not going to disclose the location.
But he's swinging it around.
Scott is, let's put it this way. It's a road game for Scott. He's wearing the road grays.
Yeah. He's wearing the road grays.
But road grays with a collar.
Oh, yeah. Better have a collar.
Yeah.
No name on the back still.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, like those old White Sox uniforms.
I don't know if you know this, but in the fantastic work that we're doing here on the K-Show, we spoke to Yankees manager Aaron Boone earlier. Here's Boone's reaction when Michael told Aaron that fans often say that Michael kisses Boone's fanny.
A lot of people I listen say that I kiss your fanny too much and I give you too much credit.
What?
See, that's troubling. We didn't get into it.
What?
It's troubling that was his reaction.
Because I believe that I'm too critical, probably. He never says a word because he's too much of a gentleman. It's just funny what people hear. But the way he hears it, because it's about him, he probably thinks I'm very critical of him.
People will never understand. They'll think I'm talking about an artist or an album in a certain way, and they have no idea how the artist interprets those things. You cannot please people. There's no way to do it.
But it's not that Aaron Boone hears it differently. He just has, I guess, a different level of expectation. And this goes back to the CC conversation.
But he knows that I like him. And, you know, but you have to put that aside and well, criticize when you have to criticize. And for his reaction there tells you that he does not think I'm easy on him.
Yeah.
Wait, I have something important to say. Everyone listen. Here's a very important piece of how the difference happens. Michael will say something critical of Aaron Boone, and I notice it because I would do the same thing. In fact, I do it with other people. In order for Michael to not seem straight up mean to someone that, unlike these window lickers and mouth breathers, Michael has an actual personal relationship with the guy. So he will preface what he says by always saying, I really like Aaron. Him doing that reads to the audience as there goes Michael, has to kiss his fanny. They don't understand Michael simply softening the blow as he publicly criticizes someone that he likes. And I do it all every time we talk about Kyrie, and I have no evidence Kyrie's ever even listened to our show. But because I know I may run into him, and I've run into him in the past, I always say, I really like the guy. I think he's a good person. And then I criticize him. People don't understand that you might have to see these people. So they think you're kissing their fanny. You're just being decent as you're critical.
I believe, and you guys know this, that my relationship with Joe Girardi, which was a great one, was forever ruptured from this show. Because, I mean, I've got to tell the truth on the show. Why would people listen if I'm just going to be Yankee boy? I mean, that could be the perception. It still is. But I am critical at times, and my relationship with Girardi really did go south.
But I do think there's the perception where it's not enough for a lot of people.
Right, because they want you to scorch the earth.
They want you to go and say, Aaron Boone, I think you're awful. Get off the phone right now. You don't deserve to have a job. That's just not respectful. We all give opinions here. Some are not met well. But honestly, I can like somebody. I said yesterday that I think Brian Cashman deserves to be fired. I like him. I respect him. But I have the opinion that if the roster is this poor and the mission statement has been missed this much and this much money has been spent and you're being embarrassed by the Tampa Bay Rays, I believe if anybody should be held accountable, it's Brian Cashman. Now, I'm sure Brian's not happy. I'm sure Brian probably hates my guts. But believe it or not, I still have all the respect in the world for a guy. But I can have that opinion. And but they would take it the wrong way. There are going to be other people who don't think that's enough. That they want him dead.
Boone,
you know.
Can we hear from Boone's reaction again one more time?
Yeah, here's what Boone said. Here you go.
A lot of people I listen say that I kiss your fanny too much and I give you too much credit.
That what's, though, isolated, we'll need that isolated, that could end up in the nether region.
You and think that could make drop madness?
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think isolated, that what can serve so many more purposes.
Andrew, what kind of a seed are we looking at, Andrew?
I love that drop, and Peter's right. That's going to get used in a lot of different contexts. I think that's a good one.
But yeah, that's a six seed, right? That's a six or seven right there, I think.
He could be having fun with us, too.
No, I don't think he was.
He means
that was pure visceral reaction.
I remember at one point, I don't want to lift up the curtain that I'm not supposed to lift up, but I remember there was a point when Michael told us about, it might have not been on air that you told us, but at some point, when I know he was somewhat offended by something you said.
But,
yeah, it happens. I don't think he was kidding around with us.
He worked for us before he took the Yankee job.
Yeah, but still,
he analyzed the games on Sunday Night Baseball. I mean, there were times he had to be critical.
Yeah, but it's different when it's just different.
You know, but listen, I don't think he could ever be mad because I don't give opinions for the most part on Yankee games. That's not my job. I'm a talk show host here. I think this is the thing that probably sent CC Sabathia over the edge with me because I'm never why would I criticize people on a baseball game? I can't do what they do. I'm never going to I criticize mental errors or not running hard, but never like a drop ball or a strikeout. I can't do it.
But I do think they expect a real soft landing when they're talking to the voice of the team. And that's why you're the only person literally in this country that has a talk show in the same market in which they call play-by-play for a team.
I really am extraordinary.
It's a good point by you.
And I think people need to appreciate that.
Nah,
they'll
appreciate me.
It's
when
enough.
I'm gone.
You know what? Michael has a big enough paycheck. No one has to appreciate him. Boone, earlier on, on the show, said he doesn't mind getting input from the analytics people.
I value that information, so I want all the information that helped me make a better, a more informed you know, decision. So I'd want that information.
But do you ever go against the numbers and go, no, I know this guy had a fight with his girlfriend. The numbers say hit him, but I'm not hitting him.
So much more than anyone would imagine. Sure.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
That's big.
Money quote.
So, but we have to act accordingly now, guys. Seriously. Baseball is a long season. We then have to, if we're going to say that answer was genuine and that's what we're going to stick with, then we can't always explain away decisions and say, well, it's somebody else's fault, not his.
Well, you know, Tim Ramsdale brings up a really good point on Twitter. He said, and yet Don bashes everybody and everybody likes him. I can't get away with anything.
Well, this is big. My friend and camera guy at the radio station at Hot, Rasan, he just wrote me and said he believes the isolated what by Aaron Boone is his Cinderella pick for Drop Madness.
Wow.
Wow. That's big.
Tell Rashawn to stay in his lane, okay? This is not his thing.
Well, his name is Rasan, first of all. There's no shh. And that's what makes it a Cinderella. You don't put all the money on it. You just put in a few bucks.
It's a wasted money. Don doesn't lose these things.
Well, here's my question. I'll ask you right now directly. Who wins heads up in that region if we were to somehow get a dream matchup between the Boone what and the Carlin squeal? That's a matchup.
I would think it's got to be the Boone what because, you know, Boone's a big star and Carlin's not.
Well, see, that was going to be my point. Has the nether region ever had a drop from someone
as big a star as a Yankee manager? Yeah.
Well, not a real clip like from our show. We had a couple of drops we've played of people, but it wasn't, you know, ours.
So that could get a lot of people going. I mean, so I'm with him. I think that can make a run.
No, with Rasan.
Rasan.
Oh, really?
He thinks he could go on a run here. Now, Rasan, first of all, there's no shh.
I've never met the guy. I don't know if there's an S. An H
I understand.
Or Y.
It took me about 2 years to get it right. Now, here's Aaron Boone. Here's the specific part. We mentioned this, but this is the more important piece. He said he is not given a lineup by analytics people.
What?
Exactly. Yeah.
I've never been dictated to like that. Ultimately, the lineup, who we start in game decisions are mine. Now, different people have influence on that and certainly talk strategy and talk plans and tough thing, but it's people put in their input and then ultimately it's on me to decide how I want to, which direction I want to go, because you do have disagreement or different opinions about which way we should go, whether we're setting up a rotation, say for a couple week stretch we're going through, or whether we're doing a lineup. If I want to get input from anyone, I take that input, and then ultimately it's on me to make that call.
It hits even better with Carlin emphasizing. Anyways, if you want to hear the entire Aaron Boone interview,
how do you do that?
You could find the podcast for the K Show with Aaron Boone wherever you find podcasts. Andrew, is that already up, the Boone interview?
Oh yeah,
yeah, it is. All three interviews today are all up. Yeah.
All the interviews are already up before the show's even over.
Boone, Zerbiak, Orlovsky—they're all there.
Now, speaking of podcasts, I forgot to make note of this yesterday. David Cohn now is doing a podcast for John Boy Media.
Wow, John Boy is entering the podcast space.
Yeah, no, his podcast is usually number one or two in the country. The Talking Yanks one.
So he's now going beyond his own podcast, I should say.
Well, his company is now a podcast empire. They got Chris Rose. I mean, they're doing quite well. It's like a multi-million-dollar business.
Well, since we're being so generous with our promotion, a friend of the show, although he refuses to be on it, Carl Banks just tweeted. He says, it's drive time, and as you are finishing listening to my friends Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg, check out the Papa Banks pod, Leonard Williams' very human response to a question on Giants fans booing is worth a listen. Plus, I ask why the tight end is not used more. So he's got a podcast, but he promoted us at the same time. So I appreciate that from Carl.
So you're returning the favor then, which is really nice. And you have game misconduct out today, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
A little stream of consciousness for 30 minutes.
So you didn't have the great E.J. Raddick on with you?
No, he was Monday.
Oh, okay. Not Leah Hextall, not on?
She was usually my Wednesday guest, but we just haven't been able to work out the time. She's very busy now.
Yeah, okay.
Now, Don, do you have notes when you go in here? Or do you just go 30 minutes off the top of the dome?
Today was just right out. Right,
just
right
bleh, hockey vomit right there
because
for everyone.
Jalen was not feeling well last night.
Okay.
So we just let her play with the computer. So she felt, and so you got to give Marco the computer. So they were vegging out, which gave me the living room TV to just watch just an inhuman amount of hockey.
Now, Peter, please be honest with me now, and don't play to Don.
All right.
Don't you think that the podcast, which is very successful, would be next level?
By the way,
level
you say that. You don't know if it's successful.
No, it gets a lot of downloads.
No, he's making that up. He has no idea.
Right?
You know why I know that? Because
okay.
I don't know.
So even if it's not successful, don't you think it would be successful if the name of the podcast was, in fact, Hockey Vomit?
Honestly,
rather than game misconduct, which couldn't be more boring for a name.
I got to tell you, I think Hockey Vomit is tremendous. I'll tell you right now, though, I pulled it up here. It actually has a 4.8 rating and around 200 reviews. I would say this is actually a little better than I expected. I think it's pretty good. And the artwork needs to be changed. That's the biggest issue I now have with game misconduct. I want a picture of Don screaming. That alone would push numbers. Michael, it's like a generic ESPN photo. It just says game misconduct with a hockey stick.
Yeah,
back
not even trying. See,
no, the
you
one that's
reworked
showing on
the
yes
whole
now
thing.
Is the logo. With
rework
me holding
the I, with, your, with the puck in your mouth, right?
Yeah.
So instead, they could do a Photoshop with like hockey jerseys and pucks flying out of your mouth, and it would be hockey vomit.
I think hockey vomit would work. I'm looking right now on the podcast app, and I'm now looking on Spotify, Don. Neither one has that picture as the actual logo.
Mom, I got to be honest with you. This is
I got to be honest with you, Michael.
Name.
Don doesn't even know how, when he says the words, it ends up on the internet.
I have no
so
idea.
So there's no chance he understands how the picture got there.
I don't understand. First of all, right now it was me and RJ. Now it's me and Anthony. We put all the work in. Promotions put up a picture because that was probably the one that was available. And we throw it up. I don't even know how Anthony does it. I have no idea.
Do you think Anthony just hand delivers it to people?
No, I'm sure there's some sort of technology that goes into it. I don't know. So I just belch out some hockey stuff for like a half hour. Anthony puts it up. I want it to do well, but there's no money. I don't get paid. And they put, and outside of me and Anthony, no effort is put into it.
Well, there's a big conversation raging in our group chat right now. Pinhead suit Ryan Hurley has weighed in. He says, the name Game Misconduct is phenomenal. Michael K. immediately responds, not better than Hockey Vomit.
Hockey Vomit would get people's attention in two countries. I got to check out Hockey Vomit.
Now, speaking of vomit, Andrew, let's check in on your Philadelphia 76ers.
Whoa!
How are you feeling? Let's do a temperature check on how things are going.
Well, it's the same as yesterday. He's still suspended. Not going to play tonight in the season opener.
All right.
And that's where we're at.
Did you? Doc Rivers said, "Quote." You don't have the audio, do you?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, you do.
Let's
hear what Doc
said to you.
Sorry. Let's hear what Doc says.
Obviously, yesterday you don't want any of those things. And, you know, I think it's funny with misconstrued because you get a lot of texts, you know, great job, all this stuff. And it's not like it's I don't think people understand, like, coaching sometimes you want all your players to do well. You cheer for your players. Even when they're in a tough spot, you want it to go well for them. You do. And so when you're put in positions like yesterday or in general, this whole It's no fun, that part of it, but you don't give up the fight that you can get it right.
That wasn't a lot. It was a lot of nothing. In other words, the whole thing stinks, and he doesn't want to deal with this, and I think it's a very hard spot for him. What are you going to do?
I think you just keep fining him and suspending him and not paying him.
But on a day-to-day basis, until that gets all figured out, it's still an awkward spot for Doc Rivers.
Yeah, but you know what they should do at some point? Andrew, I think, would also agree. You make sure he's on the bench for a game in Philly and then put him up on the scoreboard so the Philly faithful can really tell him what they think of him.
He is right now, in my years as a Philadelphia sports fan, I've never seen anything like this in terms of the fans despising one of their own. And there have been those incidents of other players, J.D. Drew, Terrell Owens, although J.D. Drew never technically played for the Phillies, but this is the worst I've ever seen.
And you're with them?
I'm with them.
Okay.
And I was not always. I think it's one of the reasons that he's so despised by the fans is because he's kind of made so many Philadelphia sports fans look so foolish. Like, I remember last year when the Harden rumors were out there, and then they said, yeah, but it's going to take Ben Simmons. And myself, I remember thinking at the time, that may be too much. I don't know. How dumb was that? I mean, just how stupid were we all to defend our guy like that? And now he's kind of turned on the fans and said, you know, they're part of the reasons I can't play there again. You know, the fan base, it's been in his laundry list of reasons that he's listed as to why he wants to leave. The fans appeared there as one of the reasons. And there were so many people like myself that have defended this guy and twisted ourselves into pretzels. Oh, but he's so great defensively. It's okay that he doesn't shoot. He sets up the most open threes of anybody in the league. It's okay he doesn't shoot. But we were all made to look so stupid. And so I think when he turned it on the fans is one of the reasons, there's a lot of fans that feel personally offended by that. So it's really bad.
Did you see the back page of the Philly Daily News? What a great headline.
What was it?
BS Walks.
Wow. Beautiful.
It's nice, right?
Because his initials are Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Jaylen Brown will be on the court for the Celtics against the Knicks tonight. That comes 12 days after his COVID positive test. He supposedly dealt with mild symptoms, including some breathing issues, but he has overcome them and he plans to be on the floor tonight. Al Horford also tested positive and he is ruled out for the opener tonight against the Knicks.
Are you going to the Garden? Because I know you're a big event guy.
You know, I am not going. I wanted to go tonight. I was hoping to mooch into the ESPN suite, perhaps. However, I have to go to beautiful Stamford, Connecticut tonight because tomorrow morning I have at 11 a.m. I have to do the WWE Crown Jewel kickoff show on Peacock. In fact, Michael, I was wondering, should I come sleep over tonight?
I was going to say, you're going to drive past. You're more than welcome.
What do you think you're going to be doing tonight?
I'm going to watch a lot of sports. You know, because I'm so excited about the Knicks season starting, I told this to Andrew off the air, but everything is for on the air, too. The clothes are coming off at the beginning of the Knicks game.
Well, it's only at 7:30, so how do you explain this to your children?
Well, they'll be in the other room. I don't want to disrobe in front of them, but the clothes are coming off. That's how excited I am.
Well, I mean, the stories to the therapist write themselves, Don. I used to knock on the door, and Dad would lock it during the games, and then one time I knocked, and he left it unlocked. I opened the door, and there was my father, stark naked, watching a Knicks-Hawks game.
Right.
Now, I've got some information that will, I think, moves the needle.
Go ahead.
According to our webmaster, Jeff Scopin,
game
misconduct does very well. Jeff also feels that if the name changed to Hockey Vomit, the social media algorithms would do well in not only the sports category, but in the home health care category as well. Don. It's been the same name for a while.
God,
and you can imagine if you had sweatshirts made up, Hockey Vomit. It would sell out.
It makes a lot of sense because that's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah, and you know what? We could get Graphics Joker to make a logo with a guy vomiting out hockey things.
Hockey Vomit. It just won't be taken very seriously.
Oh, but game misconduct is being studied at Oxford.
I don't know why you have a problem with game misconduct. Game misconduct is a great name.
It's almost too serious a name, to be honest.
It's too serious. I mean, really, you read in a doctor's waiting room.
Also, you having game misconduct and Andrew having caught offside makes you both look bad. It's like your names are too adjacent to one another. Michael, you know what I'm saying, don't you?
That's why I always went with Ice Chips when I was promoting it, which is a better name.
You were mocking. This is a good idea.
I was not mocking.
I'll tell you what. I would do it. Lock. If it were the summer. I mean, we're 2 weeks into the season. It'd be odd to change the name now.
No, now's the time you get all the attention.
No, but because I could have spent the time promoting it. The people that do listen to it, they look for it under game misconduct.
I'm going
to
tell you,
but if they subscribe to it, it shows up every day. It's still going to show up.
Me and Peter have Peter and I have way more Twitter and social media followers than you. I will promote Hockey Vomit every day.
Wow, this is big. Ryan Hurley, I've never seen him try to swing it like this. He wrote, "We will not be changing the name." Official word from me.
There you go. He's the
boss. Yeah, well, you know what, Ryan? I'll bring it up at the meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, and by the way, Don, you know what? I got to tell you, though. He has no leverage here. You're doing this is a rare situation where your boss has no leverage. You know why?
You're doing it free.
Exactly. So you call it what you want. You fight right back with him.
I do like it.
Hockey Vomit?
Now, Andrew, would you go with
Graphic
Soccer
Joker
Vomit?
Graphic Joker says he's in. He's in with the logo.
But he wouldn't be for game misconduct.
Well, because it's a bore.
All right, you know what? Let's do more ENN on the other side of this right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Bill Burr Slight Return Tour is at Forest Hill Stadium in Queens on August 10th, 2022. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score a pair of tickets. It's brought to you by AXS. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com. The Red Sox were being no-hit going into the fifth inning. They just got their first hit leading off the fifth, and now the next batter got hit with a pitch. So first and second, nobody out. Houston leads 1-0. Also, Huascar Ynoa has been scratched as the Braves starter. So Jesse Chavez, who pitched in relief yesterday, is going to be the opener. So imagine that. Now pitchers are getting scratched before the game begins. That's how big that game was yesterday for Atlanta. Oh. So now we return to ENN.
Well, guys, could there be some sort of Deshaun Watson movement? That is the word coming out of a report in the Houston Chronicle.
What?
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. That he could be on the move for Miami. Now, as the day went on, there was speculation that it could be a three-team deal that could land Deshaun in Miami and Tua Tagovailoa in Washington. I think that part seems like a reach, but hey, we'll see.
Well, our good friend Trey Wingo tweeted this out about 40 minutes ago. Any front office or coaching staff willing to pull the trigger on a trade for Deshaun Watson without knowing exactly what the liabilities are from a league suspension front and a legal front need to be seriously questioned.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, I love Wingo. You know that.
You always have.
But that's not really going on a limb. The assumption here would have to be that they're doing work and have an understanding of it that we don't have, no?
But you got to also understand, probably check out Trey's timeline, because you probably do have fans salivating. Like, give them three first-round picks. Give all of them up, because fans right now aren't thinking about the allegations. They're just thinking about what a great quarterback he is and how he should be in Miami. I'm sorry. This is a major part of things here. And he may not play all year. We may not get resolution to this until, like, the summer. And then, even if he's cleared, if the trade's made, he still may be suspended for the first four games of next year because of his involvement in this. So now you're talking about a player that might go, you know, a full year plus the first month of next season having not played a game.
Well, that's why the fans on social are just absolute morons of the highest ilk.
But it's saying momos.
But it still comes back to the original conversation that players do seem to be exempt, especially amazingly great players like this one, from the cancel culture.
I told you, I disagree. Because I think if this was a different era where people weren't being this sensitive, I think that he'd just be playing right now.
No, true. But my point is that if you're a great player, you're going to play. If you're eligible to play, you're going to play.
I mean, listen, I'll say this about football where you're right. In any other walk of life, in the public eye, I don't know that Tyreek Hill has just moves on and has the
right
career that he's had.
Right. So, but yeah, but even like saying or doing things, Peter, if you're still great at the level that Watson is or the way Vic was or any player, they're going to play. Now, you were right. Vic served his time. That didn't stop PETA from protesting outside stadiums he played in.
Peter, so you were Vic, there?
No, PETA.
Oh.
By the way, remember Kareem Hunt, Joe Mixon, they've both just moved on with their careers.
Yeah, and I always believed that if Ray Rice was like 23 and coming off a 1,500-yard season, he would have still played.
I agree with you.
You know, so, and again, I'm just stating, I think, just the obvious that just seems to be above it, because ultimately the fans don't care. The fans just want to see the team win.
Are you guys seeing the incredible catch of that broken bat at the Red Sox game?
Yes.
I don't even know how you do that.
Put your hand up. Squeeze.
Well, you don't want to squeeze. You get a splinter. You could have saved someone's life with that catch, Michael.
You know, you're right. I didn't think about that.
Like that, not only is it half a bat, which is just heavy, but also it's completely in one side. There's probably splinters sticking everywhere.
Oh my goodness, dangerous!
If you were thinking about Thursday night's game maybe being a sexy pick, which actually I was feeling, guys. Well, hopefully you feel that way about Case Keenum in place of Baker Mayfield.
No,
that's right. Mayfield will not play due to the torn labrum in his left non-throwing shoulder that he aggravated Sunday against the Cardinals.
Not a good sign.
No. He said Tuesday that he wanted to start, but would play only if he felt that his injury wouldn't hamper the team or his own performance. So it is this is a worrisome spot here for young Baker Mayfield, and actually this entire Brown season, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And our streak of picking a game on Thursday, the first 6 weeks, someone on this show, if not multiple people on this show, have selected the Thursday night game.
I'm still in tomorrow. We'll see. I'm still thinking about it.
Well, the number, according to BetMGM app, has the Broncos getting 2.5. So the Browns are still favored. Because I think Bridgewater's banged up too, so
I
see if the streak stays alive for a seventh week. Can you believe it? Week 7.
But you know what they say when Case Keenum goes against his old team? The history between Keenum and Denver? I mean, it's iconic. Anything could happen. Daniel Jones, there was some speculation, of course, last week. A lot of people, myself among them, people who were not sure that Daniel Jones would be available and should go for the Giants, but in fact he did. It didn't turn out great. As we know, it was one of his worst performance of the season. Was it hands down his worst performance?
Oh, easily,
Tom?
Easily. Come on. He only had one interception. That was at the end of the half against New Orleans.
And the picks that he threw in this game were indefensible.
Awful.
They were like the picks Don made last Sunday.
I love my picks.
He said
my Patriot pick was gorgeous. I just didn't close. That's it.
Do it again.
I would still do it again. I got that pick right. I look at that from a football perspective as getting that pick right.
They did it to you. You didn't do it wrong.
It's not even that.
No, you know, Don's new argument is Vegas got it wrong.
Right. No, Vegas got it right, and I got it right. Well, but think of my logic when I say Vegas gets it wrong. If a team's favored by 9, and I pick them to cover, and they win by 3, like what happened with New England and Houston, that's Vegas getting it wrong.
So did Vegas get the Arizona-Cleveland game wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Well, but if you're a good picker, you would know that they'd be wrong, and then you'd pick against what Vegas did. So it's on you.
Pick them. No, because what did the great R.J. Bell say? That Vegas, are usually within 3 either way. Like they very rarely get it dead wrong.
Wait, you just said something.
Yeah, he said the great R.J. Bell. He led the tantrum to get rid of him. The two of you.
Wait a minute. I don't think that would be the way I would describe it.
Certainly not publicly, but I hadn't heard that name all year, you know?
Break. We've got to get 5 minutes at the end of this hour.
I don't know that I've ever missed someone less than I miss R.J. Bell. That will do it for ENN on this Wednesday, October 20th. And, of course, ENN's delivered by DoorDash. Imagine a world where you didn't have to pay delivery fees. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. DoorDash.
We have some Met news and some basketball news. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Nope. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.